I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. If you like to eat food, then today's program should be of great interest to you. This Thursday, tomorrow night, June 24th, there will be an information and beer event at the Blue Scorcher Bakery and Cafe in Astoria from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. This is an opportunity for you to meet local growers, experienced farmers, backyard gardeners, people who enjoy growing delicious food, people who provide it to you, and people who can help you learn to grow some yourself, whether in a window box, a backyard plot, or in a community garden. Information was started by Oregon Friends of Family Farmers, and now it's become a monthly event in the Columbia Pacific region. I'm happy to have the local organizers here in the studio to tell us why this is important, why it's fun, and why you want to be there. It's a free event. Karen Black is the co-founder of the Titanic Lifeboat Academy. Iris Sullivan is the creative culinary energy at Blue Scorcher Bakery and Cafe. And John Dean is an AmeriCorps volunteer with Clatsop Community Action. Thank you so much for being here today, John Dean.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Iris Sullivan.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
Karen Black, it's good to see you.
Always a pleasure, Donna. Thank you.
Before we talk about this very fun event happening tomorrow night, let's talk a little bit about each of you so that people who are listening, perhaps even for the first time, will get a little bit of a sense of who you are and in this community. So, Karen, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, you introduced me as co-founder of the Lifeboat Academy or Titanic Lifeboat Academy, and that's what I spend most of my time doing. In other words, trying to learn more about being self-sufficient and help others learn about it, too. So growing food is a huge part of that, Donna, something I didn't know how to do before I moved here. And now I can grow food. And I tell you, if I can grow food, anybody can grow food.
Does that make you feel really empowered?
It does. It's wonderful. I mean, the stuff actually comes up and I can eat it. I didn't even know what it looked like on top before. I pulled some weeds out of the first little patch that I ever had, thinking, well, I'll get these out of here so I can get the bed ready because I know that's what you're supposed to do. And you know what they were? They were carrots.
Okay.
That's how little I knew when I started.
Okay. Then anyone can do this. All right. And it's so much fun. And to eat something that you've grown yourself is what a delight. I was
delicious.
Fortunate to grow up with a grandmother who had a large garden in the days when we all thought that was how you lived. And before we realized that, you know, that was the best food you could possibly eat. And then everything started to go to packaging and stores. And thank heaven we're returning to the mm-hmm. earth. And Iris Sullivan, please tell us about yourself.
I was born. No.
That was a good thing.
I was born. I grew up in a little farm town in Michigan. I've now lived in Oregon half my life. I don't know. I bake bread. I get to work with some amazing people at the Blue Scorcher. We make a lot of food, and we're passionate about local food. We actually have several farmers on staff. Three, actually. I don't know. My horoscope said that I'm not going to be particularly articulate today, so I think I should stop there.
I think just you put your words, your into your love into the food. I mean, where else can you find a chocolate vegan fairy cake that is just incredibly scrumptious? And so I think you speak through your food, Iris.
Speak through food.
Love,
exactly. Food is love.
Okay,
you
would
have to mention that first thing in the morning.
No, sorry. Okay, yes. And John Dean, please tell us about yourself.
Thank you. I'm an AmeriCorps volunteer, like you mentioned, working for Clatsop Community Action Regional Food Bank. And I'm being funded by the Oregon Food Bank to conduct a community food assessment of Clatsop County, looking at the entire food system within the entire county. And I've kind of branched out into the entire North Coast a little bit, and also starting to work with the North Coast Food Web and trying to spearhead that movement in trying to link together all the different aspects of the food system. And I started in September, and AmeriCorps is an 11-month project or program. So I end the end of July, where I'm off to graduate school to study sustainable agriculture in Iowa. So I'm kind of on this path.
And what have you? What would be the thing that you would tell people back in Iowa about your experience here in Astoria on the North Coast, the South Coast of Washington, North Coast of mm-hmm. Oregon, the Columbia Pacific region? What would you tell people?
You know, I think it's just so unique out here. You don't think of it as a large-scale agriculture-producing community, but there's so many little farmers out here that are trying their hardest to make a living through farming, and it's difficult out here. In Iowa, you take it for granted because everybody's a farmer, it seems like, and there's huge farms, and out here it's so small-scale, and it's which makes it so unique and beautiful pasture and wonderful environment to grow out here as well with the rain. And it can be intimidating at first, but I feel as though the farmers out here are some of the hardest workers I've ever met. And I've worked on farms in California near Santa Cruz, and it's just a completely different environment out here, and it really makes you appreciate the work that farmers put in.
And those tiny farms can produce actually a lot of food, and it's just like I always feel like the tiny strawberries are the sweetest, the most delicious, the most, you know, so very important that we continue to have these tiny farms. So, and we're going to talk about the North Coast Food Web during this program, but before that, let's talk about Infarmation tomorrow night at the Blue Scorcher. What is it? How did it come to be? Let's talk about the origins of Infarmation. Iris is going to speak.
Got the look. So okay. The Friends of Family Farms have this mission to put a face on family farms for Oregonians, and also to encourage the sustainability and the growth of the green belts around population centers, which means, you know, keeping pasture and farmland and not subdivisions. And so they started the Infarmation events in support of that mission. And so they've been doing them in Portland several years. And so one of the organizers of the Portland events came and did a presentation that John went to down in Cannon Beach in September. And some of the South County people were like, let's do it here too. So that's what we were like, okay, let's do it. So the plan is to have them every month. And because there's farmers all along the Pacific Coast here, we're starting down near in Tillamook County, and then the next month is in Cannon Beach, and then the third month comes up to Astoria. So, and Astoria is lucked out because we're getting the solstice equinox months, so we're like, and so we'll have four events a year in Astoria, four events a year in Manzanita, and four events a year in Cannon Beach. And so you don't have to necessarily go every month, but there's one near you.
And it will all be about food. And I am reading a book about Sarajevo, Fools Rush In by Bill Carter, who just came to town, actually, and gave a great presentation at Clemente's the other night. And in one of his interviews with the people in Sarajevo, a woman who was gaunt and who was trying to find food for her children, she said, I never, ever thought so much about food before the war. And now it's almost all I think of. How am I going to eat today? How am I going to feed my children today? Food is something we take for granted, and it is so important. And I know we've talked about what are the benefits of buying local food, growing local food, eating local food. Food security is one of them. Why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Food security is very important. It's also called food sovereignty. And John, you may want to jump in on some information that you've gained from your survey. But food security means being able to feed the people in your area. So to do that, we need everybody. We need everybody in on this. We need people growing sprouts on their windowsill. We need people at the community gardens. We need even more community gardens. And we certainly need to support the farmers who are already here, as John said, working extremely hard, as well as people who are growing just gardens, large gardens in their backyards. You were mentioning how things used to be done, and I was immediately thinking of the Victory Gardens. And how during hard times, people always turn to gardening because it's a very economical way to live and you get delicious food and seeds aren't that expensive. And with a little fun of digging in the dirt, you can come up with some incredible meals.
Right, absolutely. And when you bring up food security, and so when I approach people throughout Clatsop County talking about the food system, when I bring up the word security, it really resonates with them because they think immediately to 2007 and the hurricane, and we're such an isolated community, and so we're working with the Clatsop Community Action Regional Food Bank. I always hear stories. I wasn't here in 2007, but I always hear stories about how, you know, they're in such. It was. it was such an issue, it was such a problem in Clatsop County to get food, emergency food, to people that didn't have food and they didn't know what to do, and they never experienced anything like this. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to talk to people about, to educate people about how to grow your own food, what to do in these situations. And so I think what makes the North Coast region unique is the issue of food security and how it does resonate with a recent crisis in 2007.
And Iris, you had several reasons why it's important to grow and eat local food. Would you just talk a little bit about that?
I feel like, excuse me, I sound like our young rooster. I'm chicken obsessed. I think that local food has three kind of main important things why all of us can care about it. One is that the minute you pick something, the nutrients levels begin to drop. And so when we transport food long distances and has a complex chain to get to you, by the time it gets to you, its capacity to nurture your body has been greatly diminished. And so versus if you can grow stuff yourself or you can get it direct from the farm, it's just been picked that day, the nutrient value of that food is significantly different, significantly, not just a little bit, not sort of better, but way better. The second thing is the second and third thing are both about food security. One is that if we want local food, we need to support local growers. And so our ability to eat things that are local means that we need to support those producers, whether they're cheese makers or fishermen or egg producers. And so that's part of food security. And the other part of food security is when you have a really complex system to transport food long distances and warehouse it and have like multiple middlemen. The opportunities for things to go wrong increase. The more industrialized food is, the opportunities for things to go wrong gets bigger and bigger. It's like the peanut scare and the spinach scare and the tomato scare and all that stuff.
E. coli.
Is related to large-scale agriculture. And another thing that John brought up is that in large-scale agriculture, the farmer gets 17 cents on the dollar. 17 cents. There's a great song by Jody Stecker about that. But so, like, think about, like, if you can buy it directly from the farmer, that he's getting that dollar for his dollar. And so he's keeping, he or she, actually, there's a lot of women farmers, they are keeping those dollars in our local community. So it's creating a stronger economy for all of us when we buy local.
And I think now also there are several other things. One is culinary tourism is huge. People want to go places where local wines are being produced, local food is being grown, and they want to experience that. Well, they want to meet the people who are growing. They want that human connection with their food. The other thing is I think people are beginning to realize that food is indeed medicine. Food is a healing or a destructive force. And so where we get our food, how it was grown, what's in it, those are things that now, I mean, not only scientists, doctors, researchers everywhere, and thanks to Michael Pollan, more of us are all aware about that.
Exactly.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and my guests today are Karen Black, Iris Sullivan, and John Dean, and we're talking about tomorrow night, Thursday, June 24th, there is an information and beer event at the Blue Scorcher Bakery and Cafe where you can meet local growers, farmers, learn how to grow food, learn where to get the wonderful local foods that are available here. It's free. It's at 5:30 to 8:30. And I also want to talk about the fact that you had mentioned it's more economical, too. I mean, as people are saying, you know, we're stretched. I mean, you know, sodas and Fritos and all those things are expensive foods that aren't really nourishing our bodies, and a delicious snap pea or something like that is really tasty, and people may have forgotten that that is really yummy food, and it's less expensive.
It certainly is.
I mean, growing your own food, like if you feel like I want to be feeding my family organic, but we can't afford it. Think about potatoes. You get 10, 15 pounds of potatoes from one potato that you put in the ground. And so maybe you can go and buy the organic potatoes because they haven't been sprayed with the stuff that doesn't make them sprout and bring them home and plant them. And then from those 5 pounds, you end up with, you know, 25 to 30 pounds of harvested potatoes for your family. And so if you can grow, if you have grass in your yard, you can grow potatoes. And if you have a porch that gets, you know, 6 hours of sun a day, you could grow potatoes. So, like, there are many things that are like that. That, and I think the important thing, I feel like, why to have this event is that it's not just about it's the right thing to do or whatever. It's that food and getting together with people and eating food together makes us happier on a really deep level. And so it's important to celebrate and to kind of get together and be like, look at all the stuff that we can grow. Next month, they're going to talk about beekeeping and how great bees are. You know, it's like, let's get together and think about, you know, how can we make our lives even better? You know, it's not a doom and gloom event. It's, you know, I mean, there are compelling reasons to be enthusiastic about local food, but it's also because it enhances your life in many, many levels.
Well, feasting and celebrations are part, they're in our DNA. I mean, we're tribal peoples after all. And so feasting and celebrations, very important. And that's what's going to happen tomorrow night, feasting and celebrations and learning more things. John, you mentioned the North Coast Food Web, and I'd like for us to talk about some people may say, well, I've heard that there are already organizations and people doing things with food locally. What is happening in this Columbia Pacific region?
Well, so there are many organizations that are focusing on food security, food issues. When you look at Community Gardens, Friends of Clatsop County Community Gardens is a wonderful organization. Hopefully I can talk about them a little bit later. But again, so you have so many different organizations, but everybody is just kind of in their own little space, their own little world, doing all these wonderful things, but nobody is coming together. And that's what we need
to connect them.
Right. And that's what the North Coast Food Web's objective is to connect them, connect all the organizations, because in that way we'll be a more secure food region. And so right now we're operating as the North Coast Food Web operates as a listserv. And so that's one way to connect with people from around the region. And also the North Coast Food Web is becoming a nonprofit as well at this point, and to really work as an organization, as a solid organization, to connect all the different pieces in the North Coast.
So, John, if I wanted to use the North Coast Food Web and I wanted to locate a goat cheese or something like that, right. I mean, how would I do that?
So one way to do that right now is to go on the listserv. And so you can contact us and we can send you an invitation into the listserv. And when you're on the listserv...
Why don't you explain listserv for some people who may be saying, gosh, I just woke up from sleeping for 50 years. I don't even know what a listserv
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. So listserv is just a way to communicate over the internet via email. And so you have to be, essentially you're approved or you're invited onto the listserv. So you can't just Google North Coast Food Web and then send something out, because that's not going to go onto a listserv. You have to contact somebody who's on listserv and get an invitation. And that way you can be within the listserv and you'll receive email. So it's a way to mass email out very efficiently. And so, for example, if you wanted to learn about goat cheese in the area, you can send out an inquiry over the listserv and say, hey, I'm interested in local goat cheese or goat milk. Can somebody help me find that in the North Coast region? And I know of, right now, at the top of my head, probably 15 producers right now that we can hook you up with. And so that's really the point of the listserv. And it's a community resource, and so it's the community needs to use it if it's going to thrive.
That's great, and I think a lot of people may not even know that we have community gardens. Tell us about the community gardens that exist here.
Right. So I mentioned the Friends of Clatsop County Community Gardens. It's an organization, a nonprofit that was created a couple years ago. There's a few people who are kind of on the board and the leaders of the Community Garden Association. And there's about seven, don't quote me on this, but I believe there's seven community gardens in Clatsop County. When you're driving on 101 and you'll see the Railroad Garden, which is the newest big showpiece community garden in Clatsop County. It's along 101 on the east side, on the southern section of Seaside. And it's community garden is a wonderful resource. anybody can go and they can find a plot on a garden, and they can, and so essentially they own that plot. It's their own piece of property. They can grow whatever they want on it, and it's a wonderful resource for people who have never really grown before or don't have the experience that they feel confident to grow themselves. They have assistance. You have garden managers that come in and can help. You have group garden days, so everybody, you know, if you own a plot, you can meet other people that own plots at the same garden. You can grow together and really learn together. And there's also, so there's still plots available in most of the gardens, and also there are scholarships available.
And how would people then, let's say someone's listening to this program now, mm-hmm. and they say, oh, I want to learn how to grow tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, whatever. How, and I'd like to be part of a community garden because I don't know, I don't want to use fertilizer. I want to learn how to grow
Absolutely.
It, you know, with how do I do that? So who should they contact?
So one way, again, is the North Coast Food Web. But if you want to get in touch with anybody, you can contact Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District and ask for Mary Blake.
She's fabulous.
Absolutely. And she will put you in the right direction immediately. You can contact myself as well. And I can put you in touch with whoever you're interested with. We have gardens in Astoria, Warrenton, and Seaside. And also we're looking at Cannon Beach as well. And there's also a movement up in Napa-Swenson area to get a community garden.
All right. Well, and we live in a fairly temperate climate where people can actually, if they have even a little greenhouse, they can grow food year-round, right?
Right.
And Karen, tell us about now what you're growing.
Well, we're growing everything from potatoes to strawberries to chard to broccoli, onions, most veggies that you eat during the summer and then during the year, during the winter. Succession planting is also part of that. Once you harvest one crop, you can plant another one there. And if you have a little help from someone who can teach you which crops succeed others best, the second crop will actually put back into the soil what the first one took out of it. So it's a fascinating rhythm that you can get into in the growing also. But I want to introduce animals into this too, because I have a chicken sister sitting here. She said she was heavily, yes, heavily into chickens. We are now related by chickens because
okay.
she has some chickens that came from one of my roosters. So anyway, there are other types of food besides the wonderful veggies that come out of the ground. And you were talking about goat cheese, and I'm smiling, and John was smiling at me because he knows very well that some of the goat cheese is right at our house. And there are a number of cattle producers here in this area, and lamb, and all kinds of different meats, and poultry, dairy, meats and dairy, and all kinds of foods besides veggies. So you'll meet all kinds of growers there. And people can go to this information as well to exchange information with other growers. I had trouble with my broccoli last year or something. Who was really successful, and how did you do that, and what did you find worked best, or what kind of soil amendments do you use, or whatever. Those conversations are totally welcome, too. And I want people to know that they don't have to come at 5:30 and sit through until 8:30. It's fluid. If you want to come in at 6:30 and you can't get there at 5:30, that's totally fine.
Okay. And people have name tags so that you can, whether it's, you know, Farmer Jane or whomever, you can say, and maybe they say, you know, I have eggs, I have lamb, I have this, I have that. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is more and more important that people know where their food's coming from and who's doing it. Just like people want to know who caught my fish. Mm-hmm. And that there's the human story behind it, the connection. And then you feel like you trust that source as well.
And people don't think about the value of like a fruit tree in our yard that's overproducing and we have to clean it up every fall, and that's how we think of it. No, somebody else would love to have those apples or those, you know, whatever it is that's falling all over your yard. And so these are places you can make those connections and possibly even sell those apples or whatever. So there are tons of things we could be doing, we're not doing, and this is a start.
And I think it's great you mentioned the animals too, because more and more people are saying we don't want, with Food Inc., that wonderful documentary that came out, more and more people are saying, I don't want to eat corporate, you know, food. I don't want to eat food from animals, you know, who have been ill-treated. I want to know that this was, you know, a chicken that ran out and had a happy life, and because it's better for you. It's better for you, and just as human beings, we just to become more humane in the world. So and food is, it's all about this, really. So we just have a few minutes left. So what else would you all like to say before we close the show?
Well, I'd like to say that, about the North Coast Food Web. If you want to hear more about the North Coast Food Web, next week I'll be with Ann Goldine and two other folks who helped start the Food Web, Kristen Frost-Albright and Teresa Retzloff. And we'll be with Ann Goldine next week, I believe in the afternoon.
All right. That's excellent. Good. And Iris?
come back to me.
All right. I will. And Karen?
Bring your questions, all of them, any connections you want to make to InFarmation tomorrow. It's a good place to get started.
I'm seeing a community calendar piece that Terry just handed me, which says that Tillamook Food Roots announces a youth gardening program for 4th through 8th graders. And again, how valuable is it our young people for them to learn? And we had also talked about where food comes from, about what it is, how tasty it is. I mean, they have a sense of accomplishment when they pull a carrot out of the ground.
And this is a family-friendly event. You don't, even though that there'll be beer available, but it's not, you know, it's not like a big drink fest. It's really is about people exchanging information. So, and there is a children's area at the Blue Scorcher. So if you have young people that want to come, please feel free to come with your family.
Bring your family.
And if you're trying to figure out what to do with your kids this summer, plant a garden. Children love digging in the dirt. They love seeing things grow. This is the most wonderful entertainment for kids over the summer you can think of.
It's not too late.
Mm-mm. Good. No, well, that's important for people to know. And no. See, you can find out more about that tomorrow night at the Blue Scorcher. And John, it looked like you wanted to say one more thing.
I just want to also add that we're going to have resources, including brochures that people can take with them to also share knowledge if people couldn't make it to the information as well.
That's right. Great. Good.
And we have
good.
Speakers and all kinds of
speakers, all kinds of things. And Terry has a question.
Is it too late to plant potatoes?
No.
Not too late to plant
Never
potatoes.
Never too late to plant potatoes.
All right. Excellent. Food is medicine. Food is love. Food is comfort. Food is fun. Food is community. So I encourage every one of you listening to this program to come to the Blue Scorcher tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8:30. And as Karen says, you can wander in and out. It's a family-friendly event. And learn more about who's producing great food, how you yourself can get involved and do that. And thank you all so much for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Donna Quinn. I want to thank all of you who have been listening to this program. And thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things. Expand them. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now, in this moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.